we all, hopefully all of us have had that lighthouse experience. And as soon as you started singing the first song, I immediately thought of my mom. That's, I mentioned last Sunday her favorite song, I guess anyway, one of her favorites was the Glad Reunion Day. But the song that I remember hearing my mom sing from the time I was fairly young was The Royal Telephone. I was thinking as you were singing that a lot of our kids today wouldn't have a clue about a lot of the words in there, you know. The lines being crossed and the grounding and everything. They didn't know such a thing existed. Anyway, beautiful songs, beautiful words, and beautifully done. Thank you for those this morning. For a few minutes this morning, I'd like to share some scripture with you out of the New Testament. And if I would have a thought that I would want you to remember this morning, it would be this: yet lackest thou one thing, yet lackest thou one thing. And it's not in the scripture that I'm going to be reading. So you're going to have to kind of put these things together. And the angel of the Lord, from the 8th chapter of the book of Acts, starting with the 26th verse. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise, and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chair, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And I want to stop right there and point out maybe two or three things. First of all, to each one of you as a child of God, I hope that each of you do believe in the leadership of the Holy Spirit of the Lord. And I hope that you allow the Lord to lead you as you live from day to day, and as you do the things that God lays upon your heart, as you read His Word, that He would give you the understanding of it, and that as you have the opportunity, that you would share that with other people. Now, that does not mean that I expect you to go around all the time being able to quote every scripture there is in the Word of the Lord. And if Sherry had asked me to quote Jeremiah 30:33, I would have been at loss to do it, you know. But probably I could get over there and find fairly close which side of the page it's on and get it in there. But anyway, what is important is that we understand what the Lord teaches in His Word. There are many misteachings today. There are many misinterpretations of the Word of the Lord. And many of those are being passed off as being gospel, as being truth. And yet, when you really get out and examine the Word of the Lord, you find out that maybe it isn't saying what we so many times say. The Spirit came to Philip as he was working in the church in Jerusalem after he had been one of those who had been ordained in the church there. And the Spirit spoke unto him and said, I want you to get up and I want you to go to the desert. I want you to go out into a place separate and apart. The Lord does not always lead us where we think He should. And He doesn't always lead us in a way that we want Him to. But if we will just pay attention and we'll follow His leadership, He doesn't make any mistakes. Never has and never will. And so we need to listen very carefully to the Lord and allow Him to lead us. And so when as God works in our hearts, He many times is working the heart of the other individual that He may be leading us to interact with. And so we need to keep that in mind, that God just doesn't work with us. He's working with other people as well. In this particular case, the person who was in charge, who was a treasurer of the Queen of Ethiopia, well, he had been up to Jerusalem to worship, and he was on his way back home. He was riding along in his chair, and he was reading from the old prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit of the Lord spoke unto Philip and said, I want you to go and join yourself unto his chariot. And Philip, the Bible says, ran thither to him and heard him reading, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? Now, one of the things that's difficult for our people, as God's people, to understand today is that lost people do not understand the Word of the Lord. Now, the Word of the Lord is spiritually discerned, and a lost person is spiritually dead. We just, you know, again, we got to take all the scriptures. You can't just go pick and choose what you want out of it. And so we need to be sure that we get a complete understanding of what's going on. And that's the reason, one of the reasons, there are many reasons why we have so many isms and schisms today. We've got too many people who don't have the slightest comprehension of what the Word of the Lord says or what it means. And the reason that they don't is because they've never been saved. They've never come to the place of where that God could redeem their soul and make them one of his children so that he could reveal unto them his word. You who are saved are alive. You who are saved have been endowed with the Holy Spirit of God and have been given the privilege and the opportunity to study and to understand his word. He wants you to know his word. He wants you to understand his word. And he teaches us in his word that the way that comes about is that we ask him to give us understanding. Ask him to give us a knowledge of his word. Writer Paul, writing to the young preacher Timothy, said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so we need to study the word of the Lord. We need to go back and not just listen to what I say on Sunday morning. I'll share very quickly, and I won't go into any detail, but after we got home last Sunday, Diamela came out to the shop where I was, and she said, Dad, is there something that we need to talk about? And I'm thinking, well, I said, I don't know. She said, well, your message this morning left me wondering if there are some things that maybe you're not telling me that you know. And I said, well, no, there isn't. And I was honest with her. I'm not going to go into more detail because I think it probably gets, it's pretty personal, and it probably is something that I don't even want y'all to be thinking about. The thing that sometimes we need to understand is that God, as he works in our hearts and as he leads us and as he teaches us through his word, there are many times that his word is going to speak very specifically to us. We need to allow his word to speak to us. We need to not just think of it as a history book or that it's a guideline for preachers or it's something that preachers can get up and preach about. It's something that each one of you need to study and understand is what thus saith the Lord. And we get that understanding by asking him to give us the wisdom and the knowledge that we need. Anyway, the Bible says that Philip ran down here, and the Ethiopian eunuch wanted him to come up and to sit with him. He said, understandest thou what thou readest? Do you understand what it is that you're reading? And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? How can I understand what the old prophet is saying except some man should guide me? You and I, as God's children, have that responsibility is to help people who are lost. We need to do all that we can. Now, we cannot save them, but we can point them to the Lord. We can share with them what the Word of the Lord teaches, and we can encourage them to seek the Lord that they can be saved, and to assure them that the Lord will save them. You know, a lot of people love to quote to me, God is no respecter of persons. And I concur with that. I don't disagree with that. But I also don't like to use that as a cover for everything under the sun. So we need to understand that God does has the desire to save lost people, but lost people must come to Him. And to get them to Him, sometimes it's necessary that we become involved in that processes. And it's important that we know that that we care about them. So the Bible says, and when Philip asked him, he said, how can I except man, if he understood, he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. One of the lame excuses that most of us as Christians like to use is, well, they don't want to hear about it. They're not interested in it. They're not going to be acceptable unto listening to me. Well, they're probably not. If you just make up your mind, you're just going to go out here and you're going to get somebody straightened out. I find out that about every time that I think I'm going to straighten somebody else out, I get straightened out myself. Because I'm not in a position to be, quote, straightening someone out. When I first began preaching, I'd go back into work on Monday morning. I had an old boy there, and he'd say, well, preacher, did you skin him yesterday? Well, I think he was a smart aleck about it anyway, and I think probably he tried to skin people. But let me tell you something. You can't skin people. I can't skin people. And there's no use for you to be thinking that you can. I don't care who you are or how good you are. You aren't in any position to be able to straighten somebody else's life up. I tell you all the time, and I mean this in all sincerity, I've got a big enough job just taking care of Kent Parson. He's a full-time job. He's a person that needs my attention all the time. If I can keep him halfway in line, well, I'll get along pretty good. And so I don't have a lot of time to be trying to straighten your life out for you. But you and I, as God's children, sometimes we get this idea that we can straighten them out. Anyway, the Bible says that he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Now, what lost people need to hear today is not about the Elkton Baptist Church or the Pastor Kent Parson or the good deacons of Elkton Baptist Church or the Sunday school teachers of Elkton Baptist Church or the members of Elkton Baptist Church, the good and the bad about all of them and all the things that are good about the church and all the bad things. They don't need to hear that. That's none of their business. What they need to hear is about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who they need in their heart and their life. And that's what's important. That's the most important thing that's ever going to happen to any individual as they live here upon the face of the earth, is when they come to the Lord and are saved. Bar none. There is nothing else that's more important than that. And I'm going to tell you why. Because that's what's going to determine where they're going to be for eternity. It isn't going to make any difference how high in status they get here. I know that there are people, you know, who they just spend their lives and their energies and everything about them in attaining a certain goal down here. And in attaining those goals, whenever that... I saw a picture with this week of a cartoon, I guess it was, and it showed two graves. One of them was the grave of a multimillionaire, and one of them was the grave of a beggar. You know what the size of both of them were? The same. The same. There wasn't any difference in the size of the graves. That's something that people just simply cannot understand. I don't know. I still marvel as I perform funeral services of some of the concepts that we've got today of what people do. You know, when I first started preaching, it was a lot different than it is today in many respects. But I sometimes look at the caskets and I look at all the things that people have put in there. I think, what in the world are those people thinking about? What do they think those are going to do them? Do they think those people are going to do them any good? Some things I guess probably are put in there, Ronnie, for sentimental purposes. Some things, you know, now I see a can of beer in one, I think, well, that little boy's not going to drink that. And I'm sure not going to. And you know, I mean, that's just an example. I mean, every casket I looked in, it doesn't have a can of beer. And don't please go out of here and say, preacher got up and said everybody had a can of beer in the casket anymore. That is not true. But we put things in there, you know. I have a nephew, when he was buried, they buried his dog with him. Yeah. The dog was dead, of course. I mean, it wasn't alive. But I guess I better clarify that. But that was, you know, one of the things he wanted was that dog put down at his feet, and they did, you know. But the thing that I guess that I want to get around to is that we get so engrossed in what we can acquire, and whether it's material things or whether it's status or whatever, but somewhere along the line we've lost the concept that the most important thing that a person is ever going to do is come to the Lord and be saved. Amen. That's the most important thing. Whenever that you stand before the great judgment bar of Almighty God, I'll guarantee you He's not going to ask you whether you were from Hickory County or not. It's not going to matter. He's not going to ask you whether or not you were the head honcho of whatever organization there is out here. It is not going to matter. What is going to matter is whether or not that you somewhere along the line listened to the voice of the Master when He called unto you, and you heeded that call and you came to Him and allowed Him to save your soul. That's what we need to be sure that people understand, that they need to know about the Lord Jesus Christ. Tell them about Him. Tell them about the perfect one, the only perfect person that's lived here upon the face of the earth, and that they need Him in their heart and their life. So Philip began with the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Now he preached something else. He preached something else. Now you're going to say, well, how do you know that? Well, listen to what the Word says. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Now somewhere during that process, Philip had obviously preached unto the eunuch about baptism. Now, we Baptists are scared to death to preach baptism as we should anymore, because we're afraid that we're going to be accused of being baptismal regeneration. And we don't believe in that. Baptists have never believed in baptismal regeneration. That's something that's relatively new, even though I guess from one respect it went back to the time whenever the Catholic Church, after they'd come along, of course they used to baptize people too. And then they decided, you know, that wasn't good enough. They needed to revise that. And so they reworked that over again. So they got it then to where that if baptism is important, and it is important, every Baptist should know that. Baptism is important. Baptism is essential to the person who has been saved. But you say, well, now, preacher, why do you say that? Because you cannot be obedient to the instructions of the Lord if you haven't followed Him as one of His children in baptism. It's that simple. It's very simple. That's the first step after the individual has become a child of God that they need to do, is to follow the Lord in baptism. And that's why it got so easy for them. You go into the scripture again and read and see, and it talks about them, you know, when they received the Lord, then they were baptized. And so it gets very close there. They didn't wait 6 months, 6 years after they'd been saved to do that. They did it right afterwards. And that's probably the way it's good. Well, I'm not getting down to my one, yet lackest thou one thing. Now listen, here's where, if you don't hear anything else I say today, I want you to listen very carefully. The eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Now here's the answer. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. Paul wrote and said, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It has to be in the heart. When God saves you, He doesn't save this natural body. He doesn't change this natural body. He didn't make you or me a bit better looking when He saved us. People say, oh, I think He did. I think I got better looking. Well, you may have just been looking through this different set of lenses than I look at you. You understand what I'm saying, though? Well, what God does is He changes that inward part, that heart. That's what got saved about you. That's what's going to be for eternity. This old body is going to go back to the dust of the earth. I'm going to get a new body. I'm going to have a new body. I'm going to be a perfect body. Not going to have any aches. Not going to have any pains. Not going to have all the things that we experience down here. But it's not going to be this one. But there is something about me that's never going to change. And you can't see it. But God has seen it, and God has operated on it. I had a heart transplant long before they became popular. And you did too, if you're one of His children. Yeah, He gave you a new heart. If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. That's what He said. What hinders me from being baptized? One thing. Failure to believe with all my heart. If I believed with all my heart, I'm an eligible candidate for baptism. It doesn't say that you got to come and take so many classes to be able to qualify. It doesn't say you got to have the blessings of the pastor. It doesn't say you got to have the blessings of the deacons. It doesn't say any of those things. Now, some of you just jumped one step ahead of me and said, it doesn't say anything about the church having authority either. Oh, yes, it does. Because the authority to baptize was left with the church in the first place. It was not given to individuals. It was given to the church. Whenever that the commission was given, it was given to the church. Not to Paul, not to Peter, not to James or John, but to the church. The commission was given unto them. The authority was given unto the church to go out and to preach and to teach and to baptize. And so that's where it comes in, that you've got to get the church involved in it. And that's why in this Baptist church, you come before the church after that you've had that experience of salvation and you share that you believe with your heart. Now listen, I don't know, it seems to me like the clock runs faster during this hour than any of the hours of the day, but anyway, I've got to get through. Anyway, I want you to listen now. If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's what the Ethiopian eunuch said unto Philip. He didn't say, well, I went down there to the Elkin Baptist Church and I went up there to the altar and Kent Parson got down there and prayed with me. And so I'm eligible for baptism. He didn't say that because that isn't what's necessary. What is necessary is that he believed with all of his heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he made that confession and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. No more, no less. Oh, we get so hung up, our people do today, that if you don't say it just exactly the way they think it should, I hear people that once say, I accepted the Lord. So, oh, I can't accept that. You know, I don't believe that. You know, that isn't right. They got to have more than that. They got to be able to say, I know I am saved. Let me tell you something. Our terminology varies from person to person. But we know what's happened in our heart. Now, I know every one of you here are probably saying, well, who's he preaching to this morning? Well, I hope to every one of you. Not because I think that you're doing anything wrong, but just so that we understand as we're working out here in the work of the Lord and we're talking to people, they're not going to react the same as everyone in the Elkton Baptist Church reacts. And they're not going to understand the way that you all understand. And it isn't necessary that they agree with every jot and every tittle that we have. But what is important is that they know that they pass from death unto life, that God has saved their soul. How they explain that, how they state that, will differ. Now, the Bible says, and he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Now, I could spend on my entire time on those last three verses, and I'd like to do it sometime, but I can't this morning. Both of them went down into the water. They came up out of the water. And the Spirit caught away Philip, and the eunuch went on his way rejoicing. Didn't go on his way rejoicing because he'd got wet. He went on his way rejoicing because the Lord Jesus Christ had come into his heart, and he could say, I know, I believe. That's what it's about, folks. Thank you for your good attention, for your presence this morning. I'm not even going to apologize for running over because I apologize every week anymore, it seems like. So thank you for being patient with me.